Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are rethinking customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
My name is John Weberg.
And we are going to have an incredible conversation today. So John, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
It took me a second to think about this morning as I was preparing, but it has to do with a quote I have prepared that is actually my own quote. That is, your attitude is not defined by your life. Your life is defined by your attitude, which is something that I've accidentally lived by my entire life. Growing up, I've always been probably the most happy, generally like just having a good time, enjoying life type of person. And I realized that it's because of a mini superpower, I guess you could say, I have, that I think a lot of people would live more fulfilling and enjoyable lives and enjoyable businesses, and everything else is kind of affected by this. And that's really, you get to dictate entirely your reaction, not what happens to you, because, you know, sometimes in life, magical, crazy, random things beyond your control with life, with family, with business happen. That is a given. But what you do about it, your entire attitude, you have complete nullifying control over. You know, often I also give a little caveat of maybe the first reaction, that's not you either. But the bare minimum, the second reaction of anything beyond, you get to decide how you feel. And you can actually change how you feel about things that happen to you right now, that have happened to you in the past, and things that will happen to you in the future. And if you can actually do this, you can manage more of your life and get more accomplished and live a more filled life in so many different ways.
I love that. And I think it's something that people need to constantly hear, even if this isn't the first time that you've heard like the idea of, you know, you can control the outcome, you can control your reaction, your attitude drives that forward. Mm-hmm. It is easy to forget, right? Like I remember in high school, someone told me like, well, you got to fake it till you make it. And I didn't really understand that as a 18-year-old teenage girl, but you know, as a mid-30s something, now I have to like, I do have to fake it till I make it. We were just talking on the show. I'm like, I've got my liquid IV and I've got my
right workout. No, right? Totally. Like,
I've created this approach and this mindset to getting through and making sure that my attitude is the right thing to bring to the table. How have you seen that really play out in your life and your business?
I think it's extremely important for managing stress and for managing when big deals don't work out and when things aren't going your way and revenue in your business isn't going up and up and you aren't scaling and ads are getting more expensive and you name it. My approach then is not to freak out, not to panic, not to go, oh no, it's pause, breathe. Like literally everyone, the best thing you can do is literally pause, breathe. Those two steps save so much from happening. And then go, this situation, whatever it may be, what is the next thing I can do to immediately make it better, to immediately make something positive happen from it? So, you know, especially in business, there's all types of things that go wrong all the time. When you go on podcasts, sometimes you can't hear the audio. Again, sometimes you're running ads. The ads literally overnight will double in cost, triple in cost. For a lot of businesses, if you don't have a lot of liquid money available, that can immediately cease the growth of your business. So then what it drives you to often is having a results-based mindset of, okay, well, ads have doubled in cost. Maybe our email marketing, we're hitting the spam folder. Okay, well, one, if costs are up, we can't control Facebook, but we can control how we downsell, how we resell, how we upsell our customers. We can control if we run a deal right now. Why don't we risk running a new deal? We need some instant revenue right now. Costs are up. Summer's going on. In my experience, summer means for business, generally, depending on the business you're in, or digital marketing, business is generally down because people are, including myself, are out, you're about, you're swimming, you're going on cruises, you're going on vacation, you're doing stuff. So then you have to go, what can I do especially meaningful right now to make the situation just a bit better? Because I can't control what happened, but I control what I do about it entirely. So that's been a lot of why I like and why I think this skill set is good to adapt and use, is anything happens in business, anything happens in life, it gives you a little bit more, less stress, less anxiety, and more certainty in what your next move might be.
And it's really hard to, right? Like everything you're saying is right. And I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah, right.
But like sometimes I'll find myself, I don't know about you, I will just find myself in like a spiral. And so I had this a couple of days ago, and it always happens when I don't have enough going on. I feel like when I can like sit down and be like,
oh, entirely. Yeah.
And I'm I'm sitting there. So I had a moment, I think it was just, maybe even yesterday. It feels like a lifetime ago, where I was like, I'm just going to sit on the couch for a little bit and just let the spiral happen. But once I'm done, once I get off the couch, the spiral is done. Right.
Yep.
And figuring out how do you get yourself out of that funk? Because I feel like it's really easy to crash out. And if you don't know how to get back in, what do you do?
Yeah, it's very easy to crash out. So I think the two things I try to do is, number one, the first thing you said exactly, precisely, is staying busy. The same thing. If I actually have like a free schedule, that's kind of a bad thing.
I'm like, 100%. I'm so bad with free time. I'm a terrible human being with free time. Like, give me something to do.
Yeah, it's like, now what do I do? And then you're kind of left to your thoughts and not like working on or in the business mode. That's one thing is often we're like, oh, I don't have enough time as a business owner to do things or you name it. No, that's probably actually the least of your worries. You want to have a lot going on as much as possible. So you're constantly not able to go down that little spiral. Number two, like it is inevitable. Trust me, I had, I think it was like probably about 2-3 weeks ago, just sitting here looking at the computer like, wait a second. Why? One, I'm like, I'm panicking. One, I'm like, why am I panicking? Why am I at all? Like nothing's, a lot of times it's nothing is actually going on. It's just you in your head.
Yeah.
I think taking physical breaks, like if you're in that mode, and I try to do this as often as possible, I'll get my dog. You might hear in the background. I don't know. I'll get my dog. I'll go take an hour walk.
Yep.
That's the best thing you can do because your physiology and your hormones and everything is affected by your emotion. And the more you can move, it changes your emotion. It changes your thoughts and how you think, like literally chemically. So going for a walk, going to the gym, I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to grab some pizza. I'm going to go. There's a pizza place about a 1 minute drive down, which is horrible, but it works for me. I'll go drive down there, get a pizza. Just do something to get out of steaming in this funk, in this problem that you're going through. It's a big difference and it gets you a little bit separate and then you can go back into, okay, what was I thinking about this? And however I was thinking about this, what's the best positive result I can get from thinking about this again?
And how have you used that same kind of, you know, attitude drives your outcome and your success. Mm-hmm. How have you used that in one, building your business, and two, relating with your customers?
I think number one in business, you have to keep it to maintain your ability to have deals go through. So I like to make large partnerships and big deals as much as possible, because in business, your ability to scale is equivalent to your ability to get large volume with as short of resources needed to make that large volume happen in the shortest time period. Literally, like there's nothing better you can do than to make the biggest deal possible if you can make it work out. So in the process of making those deals, partnerships, like I've worked with Alex Ramosi, I've worked with Frank Kern, I've worked with Marketer Hire, I've worked with quite a few 8-9-figure businesses and companies, and I'm blessed to say so. Being able to navigate the losses of those deals, because oftentimes they don't work out, because large deals come with the only risk of the likelihood of them occurring is extremely small. To actually be able to close someone like that, it's a lot of work, a lot of resources, contacting different people, different decision makers, different deal makers, the CMO, the VA here, and tons of different people in one organization just to close one single person, one decision. So I think that helps with managing if the deal doesn't work out, and two, managing when they go, oh, I don't have time. Nope, not right now. I always learn to restructure it as, well, the reason why you don't have time is because you don't have what I do for you in your business. So let's just take a few minutes. And you're always renegotiating and moving back to how you can work with, how you can manage the customer. That's kind of what it leads to even for our own businesses is, for example, say there's chargebacks or refunds, you know, chargebacks and refunds in business are a big no. We hate them because
fighting one right now for my very small business. I help. I have a little, like, I'll call it a side hustle. It's something I do for friends. And it's like a nonprofit. And I basically just help them set up their credit card for their nonprofit. And someone did a $90 chargeback. And I have to wait now 3 months while I fight with this random credit union in Illinois to be like, hey, this was a legit thing. Like, you're hurting a charity. And what people don't realize is when you do a chargeback, there's a penalty on top of it. So not only are you taking the money from me, you're charging me another. So, like, I'm losing my mind over it. And it's one of those things where it's not that hard to dispute 50-50 on whether I'll win the dispute.
Right.
But I had to, like, psych myself up to go deal with this chargeback.
It's like, I don't even want to look at it.
I don't even want to think about it. And I reached out to the customer. I was like, did you mean to do this? And now I have to, like, go through this whole process. But it's small things like that that I have to, like, legitimately psych myself up to do sometimes.
Yep. And that is, I think, just unfortunately a part of the process where I'll, like, I get the same thing. Like, I'll go look at them. I'm like, what? I'm like, I know what we do is, like, phenomenal. So I'm like, why would you? And also, why didn't you talk to me? Like, you have my email, you have my phone number. We have amazing support. Why didn't you just contact me?
Right.
We can work this out in so many different ways. So what I usually do then is, one, of course, with chargebacks and anything like that, you have to make sure you submit every piece of communication, information, receipt, stack. I mean, that's why it was stack. Once you submit, you're done. It's a big problem because if you get too many, then your payment processing goes.
I started making customers reply to my email with the statement of, like, I authorized this purchase. I unintentionally did the chargeback. Yep. I'm happy to pay for it. Like, copy and paste this. Put it in the email.
Yep. Service terms, conditions as well, make them agree to that. That's all amazing. And then what I try to do afterwards, and this has actually led to a lot of business, regardless of the chargeback going in your favor, or regardless of it not going in your favor, and trust me, when it doesn't, you are livid. I get livid. My main thing is, regardless of what they did, that's none of my business. It's only, again, my business, what I do and how I react.
Yeah.
So often, for example, we sell traffic and leads. We do a bunch of different things, consulting, et cetera. Let's say it's a traffic package for $97 a month. Someone purchased, they did a refund for a chargeback, you name it. I then will email them or contact them, usually text or call, saying, hey, I appreciate your business. Here's actually a list of leads. Here's some leads for you. I'm sorry you were not happy with my business, but here's some leads for you. I appreciate your business. Thank you so much. Here's also some texting scripts, some calling scripts. I overload with value and give as much to them as possible.
Yeah. Even though they not only, one, just left you, but two, did a chargeback, which actually hurts your ability to process future business.
Yes. Yes. And the reason for it is because, one, while it may not feel like it, it's the best thing you should and can do. Even when you're like, screw this person. Hell no. I don't want to give them a thing.
But it's really easy to crash out over that situation, right? It can hurt you if you're a really small business.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. The only thing is, you don't want to make the hurt worse.
Right.
You don't, and that's why I do that, because then I did what's best in my heart. B, maybe they'll come back and buy later. You know, we've got customers with us because of how you manage these long, small, little things that end up being possibly long-term relationships, because people stay on your email list. They see your ads, they see your content, your retargeting, all these things for months or possibly sometimes even years. In our case, sometimes even decades. We have had people who have bought from us every 2, 3, 5, 10 years. And it works out really well because we give such incredible customer service and giving and giving and giving. And even if they piss you off, even if they are, they're the worst customer you don't want to deal with ever. If I just love them, if I love them like crazy, they will probably remember that. Whether or not they're going to express it immediately, doesn't matter. But they're probably going to remember that. And that is usually what we hear. We've had people who've refunded or you name it, and they go, oh my God, thank you so much. I appreciate this. You guys are always the best. Like, your ethics, what you do for us, this is like, thank you so much. Even though it's a bad interaction. So long-term brand building, long-term more customers down the line. You know, let's say that someone else asks about that traffic and they go, yeah, I refunded it, but they were really nice. And then they sent me a bunch of leads after them, blah, 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 blah. And they did this and they sent me a whole course after. That's going to make someone think like, oh, no one in business does that, period.
Right. Well, it makes me wonder, like, okay, if this is how you treat clients who you're essentially offboarding and give value to people who are leaving you, what does that mean if I stay? Right. It's immediately right. giving that twinge of like, what am I missing out on?
Yep.
If I do decide to stay, and you never know why someone decided to cancel, right? Like maybe right. they have a situation in their family and, or in my case, like my husband's the primary on our credit card. And sometimes he doesn't know what a transaction is. And he's like, right, what is this?
Yeah.
He's learned to ask these days, but you know, there's a lot of situations. And if you had come to them and just crashed out on them, which I'll admit, like in the beginning when I was dealing with the chargebacks, I 100% crashed out. I was like, I'm canceling your whatever, blah, blah, blah.
You'll never buy from me ever again. Please yeah. never. I'm going to block your email, block your, right. yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, you learn that things aren't always what you assume they are. And I think your point coming back to your hot take is that you control the outcome simply by controlling yes. your reaction to it. And yes. I think that's more true than just what affects you personally, because I assume you have a team yes. that you work with. How do you help them develop that kind of resilience and attitude and outlook on life? Because I don't feel like it's super natural for people no. to just be
no.
super chill and calm and not crash out.
Yeah, no, it's extremely hard to not, you don't really train. It's kind of like some people have to kind of have it a little bit naturally-ish, but you have to instill it through one, how you act. Always how I act. I always try to lead by example. I'm always going to do the best possible thing I can, even if it's not what I want to do, even if someone hurts me, even if someone does something. And this is in personal life too. Like, I think a good example of this, one time my grandpa, who's probably, I named after him, my middle name's named after him, probably the kindest man I've, and people always say, oh, he'll give the shirt off his back. No. This guy is like a step above that guy. He's top tier. And everyone talks about him like this. And he told me about some story about how a family member, I think it was one of his like sisters, took like a bunch of land that he was supposed to get from him and did some like horrible things to him. And afterwards, you know, he still helped her out with this and helped her out with that and did all that. And I'm like, why did you do that? He goes, it was none of my damn business what she did. So it's my business, what I do. And it's the same concept. Just regardless of what other people do, I'm still in control. I'm in full control. And now training it and instilling this, like we have onboarding, we have training, we have different things like that. But I think it comes down to, again, leading by example.
Right.
And always approaching that with situations with them. So whether it's a VA, whether it's someone on sales, I'm also business partners with my dad, whether it's working with him. You know, and I'm sure he does the same with me. You know, it's like, okay, so this happened. You know, what's the best route? What's the next steps? How do we make sure this actually works out great? And same thing, give them some leads, send them some stuff for free, help them as much as possible. And it's doing that in sales as well. So like, there's a big thing where some salespeople like never discount your sales, your service, your product, never discount it.
Oh yeah, I've heard that about 100 times.
I think that's the most ridiculous. I should have started with my hot take because I'm extremely passionate about that. It is the dumbest piece of business advice I've ever heard in my entire life. Here's why. One, if you discount your product and service, I've heard that your customer won't respect you.
Right. Because if you take a $30 product and make it $20, then they're going to always want it for $20, right? That's what I always hear.
When's the last time like you went to, let's say you go to Walmart and you spend $300? And this is a scenario. And someone said, oh, it's actually $250. Are you going to be upset? Are you going to be mad?
Maybe pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, you're like, oh, cool. Anytime I've ever gotten like a dealer discount or something, you go, oh, you actually get a heightened emotional response and dopamine, which would actually trigger you to appreciate that person or thing literally chemically more. So, yeah. A. B, especially when you're scaling, for example, just like with this specific scenario, by discounting, if you need to, you don't want to do it, of course, immediately, because your job is to maximize revenue. But by discounting, you temporarily can acquire customers faster. By acquiring customers faster, you can upsell, downsell, resell more and to more customers than you would have if you would have given that discount. Which means in total, you can actually make a lot more money by discounting. So for example, there's people often do, there's a ascension model of selling like a book to a course to a mentorship, et cetera.
Right. Ladder, some kind of ladder situation.
Some kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can do a $5 book or a $10 book and a $27 book. And I kept seeing on these launches, these product launches that would happen again and again and again, that they kept decreasing the price of the book. And it's because, let's just say we spend $10,000 and your $27 book, you get, let's just say, 100 book buyers. But my $5 book, I get 150 book buyers. Well, your upfront revenue is obviously higher than mine, but I have 50 more people that I can downsell, resell, upsell to two, three different higher ticket product and services. And the vast majority of the time, by having that discount, you're actually collecting way more on the back end, as long as you or someone on your team is upselling, downselling, reselling all those people, especially with phone number. You call them, you email them, and you retarget them. Oh, the conversions are crazy. I don't know where I was leading with that, but do that, people.
Right. And I think that actually leads me into my next question. What do you think is the biggest blind spot leaders have when it comes to their customers? What are they missing?
I think two things. One, deep care. Deep, 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 actual care. Because if you actually deeply care about your customers, like literally, what will happen is you will design the best process for them to go through. So sometimes what I do, like for funsies on like a Thursday or Wednesday, is I'll go on LinkedIn and I'll go through people's sales processes. And I'll do a live video revealing their entire sales process. I'm always thinking of, what is the easiest path for me to become a customer with you? How could you make it effortless for me to buy from you? Because it'll convert best, because it'll be a great experience for me, and you'll get a customer from it, and you'll help someone. And I go through, and the vast majority of the time, it's like an agency that has a call booking process that's broken. When you book a page, book a call, you go to a thank you page that's, thanks, we'll get back to you. That's it. That's your entire. And you're like a marketing agency. This is your like,
right.
For someone like me, who's like work with agencies, consult for agencies, et cetera. You lost me immediately. You don't have like a thank you video. You don't have like a thank you VSL. You don't have like a thank you. Here's how to market emails as important. Here's how to check them in your inbox, add this to your contacts. Here's how to do X, Y, Z. I've seen some thank you videos or thank you pages with even like a downsell on it. Like, hey, book your call here. Here's where you can book a call. Here's where you can mark your emails as important. Here's where you can buy from us. So thinking through how I can care so much that I service the customer everywhere they need, in back offices, product access, the product itself. You obsess over the entire customer experience from ad to actually using your product and service. Doing that deeply, you will find so many areas of, oh, if we did this, that would probably help a lot. Do that, like spend time just, I can't go through every single example because there's so many that I go through, but it's so easy to make your customer experience better, which will raise conversion rates, make you more money, your customer a lot happier with you. There was a second part to your question, I believe.
I'm like so down a rabbit hole of thinking about my own process now as you're talking about it that I actually struck, because I'm a pre-revenue startup, right? So like we're just getting started.
Yep.
And I'm sitting here going, okay, what does our onboarding even look like? And I'm like, well, it's not great right now because we need to have like the conversations. You have to book a call in order to purchase our software. But our goal is to make it that you can always do those things basically without having to necessarily talk to us if you don't want to. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Right. Instant gratification. But my COO, one of the things that she loves to introduce herself with, and I would love to just like shout her out for this for a moment, is she always tells people when she first starts a consulting gig with them that her only goal is to be easy to work with.
Yep.
So she'll work in your project management software. She'll join your Slack channels or your however you like to communicate. If you want weekly emails, and she asks these questions up says, how can I work with you? Not the other way around.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfortunately kind of rare.
It's very rare. The number of businesses I've worked with and the ability to contact them, get a hold of them, have them have any response.
Right.
I think it comes with, I'm not sure what it is. I don't want to call it ego.
I think it's people design their experience for themselves and to make their lives easier rather than for their customers.
Yeah, which is a big problem. Which is
like having to go through your ticketing system simply because that's the way you want to have traffic.
I don't want support tickets. I don't want support tickets. I want as many support tickets as humanly possible, because that means I get to work or have someone on my team or my dad. Someone's going to handle the support and give such an incredible one-on-one experience that they're going to buy more stuff from us. Like, oh, we get emails all the time and people, oh, should I get this? Oh, yeah. But maybe if you got, you know, say this upsell instead, it would take care of XYZ. I know I mentioned before because I actually talked and cared about you before. That would help you, right? Yes, it would. Great. Now they bought a couple $1,000 upsell just because of that.
Right. Just because you treated them like people who you cared about and gave a shit about and called it a day.
That should be default, no?
You would think. You would think. But the number of people that I run into that design their process for their customer to be about themselves instead of the customer. And like I always tell people, you are the main character of your story. They are the main character of their story. But if you want their business, you have to learn how to become a pretty significant supporting character to their main character moment.
Yeah, it's all in unison. If anything against that, you just conversions go down. The business doesn't grow as fast. There's so many issues that can happen.
Yeah. So considering all of the incredible people you've had a chance to meet, that you follow, that you listen to, that you know or aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who else should we be listening to?
I would say John Cristani. A big shout out to John Cristani, who I both worked with and for and kind of as a peer. So John Cristani is in affiliate marketing. He does affiliate marketing coaching and consulting. And he is one of very few marketers I've ever seen do deep, deep research into the structure of a sales process. So he isn't split testing headlines and body copy and he's split testing the exact watch time on a specific video in his entire sales process. He'll go to the second video you see on the confirmation page and split test watch time for segments of the video and replace, 10-second segments, 5-second segments.
That's wild.
And see how that increases total watch time, because if you can estimate if you increase total watch time, you will increase conversion, call attendance, sales. But that's not always the case. You assume that, which is another big thing I learned from him, is a lot of times we assume things we do, which you safely can a lot of the time, that if we do X, it'll probably do Y and Z. But depending on how big your business is and how you're scaling, you have to be careful, because one of the times we were working together, we did that. We changed a bunch of things going, oh, we didn't give enough time. You have to give enough time. You have to give enough volume for a split test to be accurate. So we didn't give enough time. We gave it like a week or like a few days. It went up a little bit. Cool. It went up a little bit. Great. It went up a little bit. But in the long term, because not enough time had passed, not enough volume of data had gone through, which means, we were basing off this little subset of people that for some reason, it could be like, for example, summer versus winter is a whole different metric. Everything's different in summer versus winter, conversion rates, opt-in rates, all the above, versus you name it, generally. So time period, if it's 4th of July weekend, we don't market on the 4th of July. Unless you're doing like sales, like sales offers. Other than that, get offline. Get offline. Generally, go enjoy yourself, have fun. Because people are out and about. That's what we're all doing. I think his ability to do deep research we did so many different split tests. Like split tests is talked about. No one actually does split tests. 0 businesses I know do them.
I don't know of a single, you talked about like swapping out little parts of the video. I don't know about you, but like most people that I talk to are like, I'm going to record this thing once and I'm never ever even going to watch it because I hate the way I sound and I hate the way I look and I don't really care to do the deep dive on it.
It's all about them too. Yeah. It's not about like, he's always, how can I, I need to get them the best information possible at the exact time possible to get them to want to work with me. It's the whole different language system. You, them versus, I don't like doing video. Well, if you're in business, get over not wanting to do video.
Welcome to the 21st century, because that is it's a video first world, my friends.
Yeah.
So on that note, if someone is really connecting with you, if they want to learn more, they want to talk about your business, they want to just learn more from you, where can they find you online?
I'd say go to profitalize.com, which is my website. What we do is essentially we deep dive your lead generation to your follow-up to your entire sales process. And we do something unique, and that is instantly scaling your business. So we identify, because I've done this for so long, in a 5-minute conversation, I can tell you to do X, Y, Z, Q, P, and literally you'll see instantly higher email open rates, click-through rates, upsold customers. You'll be able to raise your, anything you want basically will happen, and we guarantee it. We guarantee it with ROI, which is pretty cool too. So we do that. And then also, if you want to follow me on YouTube, go to youtube.com/@John Weberg. And then just Google me. I'm kind of Googleable at this point, which I really like. You Google me, you go, oh, this guy kind of knows what he's talking about. And I do generally, which is cool. But yeah, profitalize.com, YouTube, and anyone listening, if you guys have questions too, you can actually just shoot me questions and I'll actually answer you.
I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really great conversation.
Thank you as well. I appreciate you.